You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's Black Friday all month. Over 100 remaining, 217 models to choose from. 0% interest financing available on every unit, and prices reduced up to $10,500. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
What if our next guest gets rattled about when I bring him in?
Don't worry about it. We're not talking Lisa.
Stand down.
We're not talking Lisa. We're going to talk the trade, though. Devils and the Ducks. If you missed it, Blandisi and Henrique are now members of the Anaheim Ducks, and Sammy Vatanen and a conditional draft pick are going to the New Jersey Devils. Eric Stevens, Iceman Cometh on Twitter, still the greatest handle I know when it comes to hockey beat writers. Eric, a trade, like you look at the IR and you see Getzlaff and Kessler, it definitely makes sense. But this isn't just a stopgap. They're obviously looking at Henrique to be, you know, is he a third line center when Kessler and Getzlaff come back, or do you see him fitting in elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, Jason, that's a good question. And, you know, I think that's something that Randy Carlisle is going to play around with. I mean, naturally, yeah, you can certainly look at that as a possibility. I mean, you have those two at the top when they come back. And perhaps if you slot Henrique as your number three and then maybe have Antoine Vermette as your number four, if you go with that down the middle, that's a pretty good setup for the second half of the season and perhaps, you know, the playoffs, assuming that they do get in and make it. But, you know, Adams played wing before. They've had some issues with getting some offense from particularly on the left side. Other than Ricard Raquel, he's probably their only consistent scorer on the left wing. So, you know, that's a possibility as well to put him there. So I think it's really left up to Randy to, you know, kind of play around with it and see and decide where he thinks Henrique will fit best.
What's the reason for this trade? Like, who is the D-man who pushed so hard that they would push Vatanen literally right off the team?
Brandon Montour. He has really come on. He's had a big rise within the entire organization. Dated to when they drafted him. Originally out of the USHL. He was a forward back in the day, so he had obviously tremendous offense and skills already, and he made the conversion to defense. But I'll tell you what, ever since that he's gotten in with the organization, he took off there in the AHL, and in some ways, going back to last year, he passed Shea Theodore up on the depth chart. I mean, he played better than him, and by the end of the season, and even in the playoffs, he was already in their top four in their defense. He essentially had it outplayed Sammy Vatanen, and you know, and Vatanen obviously had dealt with some injuries last year. But I think it's really the ascension of Montour as a right shot defender with great skating ability, can play the power play, has a big shot, in effect, do all the things that Sammy Vatanen can do, but was doing them better, and he's also younger. So I think his ascension really sort of pushed, ironically, not only Theodore out, but Vatanen as well.
Now that they moved him out, you know, you look at their top four with Lindholm, Fowler, Montour, and Manson. Are they now a little bit light in that bottom pairing, or are they kind of happy with Beauchemin and Bieksa?
Yeah, you know, that's gonna have to sort itself out. Yeah, I mean, they love their experience. Of course, experience can only get you so far. You know, these guys have been through the wars. You know, I think both Randy Carlisle and Bob Murray do want to keep someone on their blue line that has that type of experience, that can play with some bite, that can play sort of that playoff style hockey. But that said, you know, these two at this stage of their careers are to have more limited roles, and they've had to play bigger roles, than were expected this year. Obviously, when they started the season without Lindholm and Vatanen, and then Fowler was out as well. So, for right now, they'll probably be more slotted to where they should be at this stage. And then you know, they've also still got some you know, talent coming through the pipeline as well. You know, we may see Jacob Larson at some point you know, this year. They've got holes through there as far as an extra D-man for depth. But, you know, you could certainly see where Boschman and Bieksa, you know, could be that third tandem. That'll play more limited minutes, but, you know, eat up a lot of the penalty kill play for them.
Eric, the Ducks, similar situation, the Oilers, I think it's safe to say that, you know, underachieving at this part of the season. Now the Ducks have had some injury, Getzlaff and Kessler. What's the ETA on those two?
Well, you know, first off, I'm not sure if they're underachieving. I mean, they're really surviving.
Okay.
The fact that they're actually 1 point out of a playoff spot, given the fact of all those injuries and playing guys like Derek Grant and Chris Wagner as their top two centers, that's sort of a little bit of a feat in itself. But, you know, those big two that you're referring to, It looks like, in fact, Bob Murray said to us earlier today, he thinks that they will be able to join the club on their next road trip. That'll be before Christmas, where they'll be heading back east. They're going home for three games, and then they'll be going on another six-game roadie. They should join them at some point. Whether they will play or not, or how many games they will play, I think that's still up in the air. Getzlaff should be ready sooner than Kessler. But they are keeping hope that either of the two, if not both, will be able to, you know, get in some action before the Christmas holiday.
You know, sticking with that, it's pretty amazing that they've done it without those two guys. Patrick Eaves has been out. Raquel has been out. I mean, that's really four of your top six forwards. Has it given an opportunity for some of the guys you mentioned to step up and have an opportunity to show what they can do with more minutes, more responsibility?
Well, I mean, Garrett Grant, you know, a journeyman who had no goals coming into the season. I believe he already, you know, has five, you know, playing unprecedented minutes. You know, I think he sort of has been a little bit exposed as of late. I think Chris Wagner has been really the one that's taken full advantage of this. I mean, he's been sort of a fourth-line grinder throughout his first 4 years, and he's jumped into that second-line center role. And he's done an admirable job playing in between Andrew Cogliano and Jakob Silfverberg. No, he's not Ryan Kessler by any means, but he's a physical guy, and he's already got a career high in points, and he's shown, you know, the capability to be able to make plays from time to time. I think this is just going to help them once they get those guys back. You know, they can slot those two into positions that they're probably more comfortable with. And certainly they're going to be more confident players because of the ice time that they've gotten and the opportunities that they've got.
In the last number of years, Andrew Cogliano has become a big part of that line you mentioned with him and Kessler and Silfverberg. His contract is up at the end of this year. Do you have any sense about which way they might be leaning on where Cos, former Oiler, could slot in next year?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Jason. You know, they certainly really love what he brings to the team and the professionalism, the day-to-day, work, commitment that he does to the squad. You know, it's going to be about finances, certainly. They're going to have to, you know, to look and see where he's going to fit, within the salary structure, what he's going to want, certainly. And then the money that's going to be, you know, need to be dished out to, you know, some of the younger players, particularly like a Montour that you know, we mentioned earlier. He's going to be an RFA. Who knows what that will bring in terms of whether a Bridge Hill, whether he's someone that they're going to want to commit long money to. So, Andrew, I think he's certainly a guy that they want back. You know, again, there's going to be a lot of other factors into play in terms of how they manage, the cap and how they, you know, manage their finances.
Eric, it's interesting to see what the Ducks do. It sounds like if they can just get through the next few weeks, starting that road trip on the 14th in St. Louis. Maybe they get some reserves back before the Christmas break, because they got that three-game road trip right now, Columbus, Nashville, and Vegas, then home for three, then another one. They got a busy December, actually, looking at their schedule. And if they can get Getzlaff and then back, maybe they go for running in the second half. The Ducks, similar to the Oilers, haven't played a ton of Pacific Division teams. It's going to be a heavy Pacific Division schedule in January, February, and March for a lot of teams.
No, you're right. It's funny. A lot of teams are playing a bunch of games. I don't know if the league sort of maybe scheduled it that way, where teams had more off days earlier in October and November. But they're going to have a real heavy schedule upcoming. You know, the Ducks have fared pretty well against, the teams within their own division. And as we've seen thus far and how it's played out, you know, we know what's going on with Edmonton. It's been a disappointment. You know, Calgary, L.A. has kind of come back to the pack a little bit. There's obviously Vegas. It's interesting, certainly. I don't know if there's any, world beaters at this point. So there's opportunities for Anaheim to go on a second half run like they typically have done, in these past few years in terms of being able to win division titles. It's going to be up for there. And right now they're just trying to stay close, win games here and there, and just trying to stay within range and not be buried before they go on a run.
Eric, appreciate it. Enjoy the road trip.
Okay, guys. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.